Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Elsie.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm doing good. Oh my God. I just have to share something with you that I'm a little kind of upset with myself with.
Ugh. Do it.
Okay, what's so that? Do you remember how on like shows 1 and 2, my mic didn't go on, so then it was like all echoey and annoying?
Yeah, it was a little echoey.
So, yeah, for me. So, anyway, for me.
I think our listeners have probably forgot by now, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. It was, right? So, I remember that. And then, so I'm like, okay, cool. And then the next time we got together, I got all my setup, like, really great. And
you sounded good.
And I, yeah, so I had, like, you know, everything was all recorded, and I do it the same way that I did the feed. So, I recorded externally my, anyway, so I did all kinds, like, I record in an external recorder from my side, and then we record in call recorder. And then what I do is I split the tracks, and then I add like my super fancy sounding recording to the not so, I guess, crazy sounding other one. And what happened is I cleared out my digital recorder. I had to clear out the SD card, and therefore I erased my end of the conversation, and I had to use the audio from our, just the Skype conversation that we had on call recorder.
Oh no.
Yeah. So it was very annoying for me, because it's not that it's bad. It doesn't sound bad. It's just that it doesn't sound.
Can you split it and edit it?
Maybe? I can't. No, I can't split it and edit it. It's fine. It's just that the recording is on a, like the audio for that was directly into my, you know, my plain old headset, right? My iPhone earbuds, as opposed to into my digital recorder. So, I mean, it's fine, but it's not what I wanted. And it just makes me crazy that I couldn't, that it's just, it was just stupid. It happens, right? It's so frustrating when you can't get to the quality. But now that brings me to being able to, oh my God, to being able to our topic. Yeah. To being first in terms of the audio, kind of, when do you stop? Like, when is audio good enough? And when is content king, you know? And the reason that I want to bring this up is because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts from our community of the She Podcast community. And I can tell you that I have listened happily to all of their stuff, with a varied audio quality, but nothing has stopped me from being riveted by their content as of now.
But when you were listening,
yeah,
were you thinking, that's a shame?
No, I actually thought like, oh, I would think things like, the levels are a little off, or it would be nice if it was maybe a richer sound, but that only happened at the beginning. Like, it happened very little, like in the first few seconds, where I was like, oh, but then I got kind of super sucked into the conversation. It's kind of like, you know, judging people by appearances, that you look at somebody and you go like, oh, they should be wearing this, or, oh, that girl is like this. And in reality, we don't really know them yet. We need to kind of talk with them. And I know that appearances are super important, but something about the content completely took me in. That said, I've been obsessed with Mad Men as of late.
So yeah.
I've been looking for a fan cast. Like, I want, you know.
Oh, that's right.
So I kind of,
you posting about,
yeah,
that.
So I kind of want to listen to people go off about Mad Men, like deep into the whole thing. Like, I want to hear that. And I've been kind of playing around with listening to podcasts. And I found a podcast that was so bad that I could not listen to it.
Really?
Like, not because the conversation or the content was bad, is that the audio content was really bad. Where I could not, it was so.
There's a lot of Mad Men podcasts out there.
Yeah. But that, well, I mean, that one specific one, I was just so bummed out. And that was the first time where I was like, wow, the audio content is so bad that I can't listen. And it wasn't about the fact that they didn't have the proper microphone. It was that I couldn't hear.
Yeah.
It was like, what are they saying? Who's talking now?
Why do you think that it was that bad? Were they not using mics? Were their headsets not working? Like, what?
In all honesty, I don't even know. I have no idea what kind of, I don't even know what kind of setup it was. Like, it didn't even, I think that it might have been like the people and we're all in the same room. and everybody was kind of talking, but nobody had an individual mic. And so it was like, it sounded like.
I think I'm looking at the one you listened to. I actually haven't listened.
I listened to one of them, but I don't even know what their names are
yet. By like four people.
It's something like that.
And two dudes, it looks like.
Well, it was kind of, yeah. So I was kind of sad because I think one of the guys was super funny and insightful, but I.
And then you'd never know.
But I couldn't get over it. Yeah. So bad. So what do you think about audio? Just because of, you know, I actually was more forgiving than I thought I would be in terms of audio. And yeah. So what makes you not listen to somebody?
Well, so believe it or not, I have a much different approach to audio than most people do. Like, I don't have a moral standing ground about having good audio, like where some tech people would be, you know, superior or inferior to me based on their audio quality of their show. I don't really care about that, but as a person with attention deficit disorder, I can tell you that just regular calls, like if I'm trying to listen to like a webinar and it's not clear or it sounds like a person's on a telephone in Guam, I can't listen because it just is distracting to me. Either the audio is distracting or it's so not clear that other things distract me, if that makes sense. Uh-huh. So it's like, so when I first started my show and I wanted it to be a live show, I was using Instant Teleseminar because people could chat during the show and I could answer, you know, ask the guest questions as it was going on. But when I would listen back to them, it sounded too much like those furry webinars where the person was called, you know, I sounded okay, but the other, it just really sounded like a telephone conversation between two people across the world. And I didn't like the way that sounded. And I was afraid that as a listener, I would zone out because the people's voices weren't clear. And I think there's something to be said about hearing the inflection and the tone of the person's voice, especially if you're doing a podcast about storytelling. But, you know, even my show is interviewing, you know, they are telling stories about their lives or who they want to help and stuff. And I think that the passion and the inflection really needs to come through in order to keep people's attentions captured. Now, that said, you were saying that you've been listening to a bunch in our community with large amounts of varied quality and it didn't distract you.
Yes.
So either it takes a lot to distract you or the audio quality wasn't that bad.
I think both. You know what I mean? Now, that's really great. I mean, that's really great how you like narrowed that down. No, the audio quality wasn't, in quotes, that bad because it wasn't that bad. It was actually far above the majority of things that I think are out there. I think it was very subtle and nobody was recording just a phone call. Like, right. I didn't have like that. Like, I didn't listen to somebody's podcast where it was like Blog Talk Radio. Did I really say that out loud? So, yeah. So... Oops. So that it wasn't like that kind of even like the phone call kind of level. Not at all. It was not at all like that. So yeah, I think that I think it was maybe just a difference in terms of like what I was alluding to, where the fact that I prefer to record either externally or with a really great but very decent microphone as opposed to just recording with your earbuds. Like that kind of quality. But mind you, the earbuds are deceptively good. Like they sound so much better than other headsets that I've been out, you know, that have been out. So, you know, I guess I just wanted kind of to talk about that because for me, it matters. And then there's a difference between it mattering to you and then for it to actually happen. So my intention was to create this experience of audio being at a higher level, and what's been happening is that's not been happening. And so it's like that's what it is for me, and it gets so frustrating. And I believe that, you know, we grow and we move and you get the feel of it, and that's just the way it goes. So
I'm actually sitting here wondering if it has anything to do with the computer, and here's why. Because ever since I switched to doing calls over Skype, I have sometimes I use nothing No headset, no microphone. I just sit here with my laptop and talk. Sometimes right now I'm using a headset, but it's a more of an expensive Skullcandy one, and it has a mic that's kind of on the cord near my mouth. But it's nothing like, I don't know, it's nothing fancy. It probably was like a $100 headset, but that's mostly so that I can drown out sound, not so that it's good audio quality.
Got it.
And then I use a Snowball with no headset, or sometimes I'll use the Snowball and the headset, but I cannot tell the difference between, like, there's no large difference between using the Snowball, using this headset, using nothing. And so if that's the case, is it because I have a PowerBook. I use a Mac PowerBook, and even though it's a couple years old, generally it's just going to filter audio the same way no matter what I use. Or, I mean, like, and I'm wondering if that's the difference between the shows that you might have heard, is that it's an older computer, it's a PC, it's not set up for the kind of giant file that it's creating by recording your podcast. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it does. And yeah, maybe, 'cause there's actually been times when I haven't heard a discernible difference between one recording and another, because there's times when I 'cause every time I record like twice, basically. So I'm recording with the call recorder, but at the same time I'm recording externally, and sometimes I listen to my end of the conversation in two different level, like in those two different ways that it was recorded. And I hear a difference in tone, a difference in resonance, a difference in, like, it's kind of like, having a really soft blanket. One of them's made out of cashmere, and one of them
Yeah,
is kind of
right.
made out of something that's really soft, but not quite cashmere,
Velvet,
velvety or
velvet.
something. But it's like they're both soft. It's just that, one of them is a little bit finer.
Right.
But it's not going to be like, you just got a burlap sack, like, to wrap
Right.
yourself around. So it's
Right.
kind of like that. And I feel that. Yeah, I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm such an audio snob that I refuse to listen to something simply because the quality is not coming out of like the highest end of some sort
Right.
of, I don't know, a microphone. I just don't want to put that in front of me, especially when I'm such a proponent of getting your voice out there. And we
Yeah.
already have such a hard time thinking like, what are people going to think about me? That for people to go like, well, your audio quality sucks. It's just gonna
Yeah.
stop you from making the choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so speaking of people saying things like your audio quality sucks, that's
Yeah.
feedback that you might be possibly getting from your people, right? So you feel, or perhaps that, the audience might have a way to kind of, I don't know, somehow craft or model your content, or kind of push you to a specific way in which perhaps you can deepen your content. How much do you listen to your audience?
Well, I mean, I listen when they're smart, right?
Right.
I
Right. Yeah.
don't listen when they're not smart. No, I mean, for the I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'm getting over a cold and sticking with me. The reason I think this is a cool topic is because podcast listeners are so enthusiastic, and the ones that and they're I find much more likely to reach out and tell you what you should do with your show or even your business. And so I just think it's really interesting. Like, there was one point where I was thinking, I was just like trying to grow my show, I guess, super fast. And I had asked a podcasting success story his advice on how to grow it faster. What's the fastest way I can grow my show? And he said, how long are your shows? And I said, they're in about an hour. How many shows do you do a week? I said, two. He said, split them up and do four shows a week. Part one on, Monday, part two on Tuesday, part three on Wednesday, part four on Thursday. And so before I went ahead and did that, which seemed like so much work, my God. I posted on the Facebook wall, hey, I've been thinking about splitting my shows into two. What do you guys think? And there was like a total backlash. They hated this idea. They didn't want me to do it. They were like, it's the perfect length for me to be able to do X, Y, and Z. Don't split it up. And I sort of thought, well, it'll still be that length. You'll just push play on the next one. You know, like, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's not really that big of a difference. And it'll be two downloads for me instead of one, you selfish lady. But no, no. Oh my God. No, but do you know what I mean?
Like,
what's the real big difference there? But they were like, no, please don't split it up. It's perfect the way to, and I guess that's true. Like, if you're running, you don't have to stop after 30 minutes and go to the next one. You know, like, I get the fact that it's an hour-long show is good for doing X, Y, and Z. And to have to pull over if you're driving or stop running or stop vacuuming or just whatever. I may miss, people will miss the second half because they're doing, you know, something and they don't want to stop doing it. So I just left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some other times where like someone will reach out and go, you know, you should really interview this person. And sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. And then there was a couple people that suggested that I have a Facebook group for listeners. So I just tried it as an experiment and it's working out really well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was a really good idea, and I mean, it's kind of a shame because when you do something as an experiment, this is a whole other show, really. But if you do something as an experiment and you're not sure where it's going to go, I didn't think enough ahead to get people to opt in before they got to the Facebook group. I just was like, "Hey, want to join? Here you go!"
Right.
And so now there's like 350 people in there, and I have no idea if they're on my email list or not.
Oh.
Probably a lot of them are, but
yeah. But anyway, you can also have that conversation there. You know.
Yeah, I could totally just say, hey, if you guys want to know about the shows, hop on.
But you know what, going back to splitting the audio into a bunch of different kind of episodes.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the length, really, because like the only way that I think that I would split something would be if it's like really long. Like if it was like, for me, really long
3 hours.
Would be like, yeah, between about 3 hours. Between a 90 minutes to 3 hours, I would consider splitting it in half. Now, that said, what's interesting about what you were talking about, you know, you can just go to the next one. Well, yeah, you can totally do that if they haven't been your fans for a while and they're like, oh, I just found Lady Business Radio. Let's go ahead and binge listen to Jessica. Then you can totally do that. But if you're super riveted on a part one of an episode, you have to wait.
Yeah.
To get the other one, you know?
Day.
Yeah. So it's like, and then what if you don't have time to listen? So I could hear it. I could see that. Then it would be a decided choice on the listener's part to go like, oh yeah, when is Jess going to release part two of this? Because I totally love it. I understand though, you know, that you would want to do that and like people get even more engaged for that. But then sometimes you forget, like my life gets in the way. There's been times when I don't listen to a part two of an interview forever because I just completely forgot. Like,
right.
I totally forgot. So,
I don't want that. So I didn't split them up. But I mean, it's probably, technically, it's a good idea to get more downloads, but listenership wise, it's not a good idea because they hated that idea.
Right. Totally.
And so I don't want to go against what they, you know, if you have people who are diehard listeners, you don't necessarily want to do something that's going to piss them all off either.
Absolutely.
Even if it does make sense for your show.
Right. And I don't know. I like the fact that you started a Facebook group from your community. I like the fact that you started to kind of build community around the conversation that you had with your audience. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Do you feel that it's still growing in that respect? Do you feel that you're still having that back and forth conversation with your audience in that same way?
I try to have it more in the group.
Okay.
Because I have that group than I do outside of it. Although sometimes I do ask them to comment on the shows. Very rarely the show notes are commented on.
Yeah.
People comment on my blog posts all day long, but they will never make a comment on a show note, hardly ever. But they do comment on Facebook posts.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird? So like I'm logging into Facebook now, and it's so funny the way people are like, I love this episode. This is the best episode in the world. But they'll never put it on the website.
Yeah.
And it's possible. I wonder if that's because they don't listen on the website necessarily.
I think you're, yeah, they don't. I think that yeah. if you, I'm sure if you look at your stats, you'll see that a lot of people, there are some people that are listening on the website, but think about this. I'm sure if they listen on the website, they're listening on the website on their phone.
Well, right.
So then they're mobile and it's so much easier. I don't know if you've tried to leave a comment on a blog on your phone, but it's yeah. annoying as all get out. It's not mm-hmm. easy to do, especially because it goes, you know, like you have to write your name, you have to write your email, you have to put your, you know, your link. I mean, you don't have to do all that stuff, but usually you put all that stuff down and it's so annoying when you're on a phone trying to, you know, write all this stuff down, http://, you know, it's like so annoying. And so by the time you get to put all that information in there, it's whatever you were going to say is out the door, whereas you can always open the Facebook app and you can very easily, quickly, even just like something super fast to engage in some way or write something down. You're right. So yeah, I would just kind of harness that conversation there with that kind of stuff. That I like the fact that you're getting it on Facebook. There's people who never go on Facebook, but it depends on what their community is.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, you know, it depends on your community too. Like some people's community, maybe they're not as vocal as mine. I'm, you know, it's sort of like you tend to attract bees like the same honey, I guess, or birds of a feather, however you want to say it. But it's possible that they're, you know, vocal because I am.
Right. And
they'll tell me.
And plus part of it is that people start to kind of embody. You kind of start to embody the people you kind of align with. So when you're listening to, like, it's interesting. If I listen to Lady Business, there's something about the way that you are as a host that instigates me wanting to deepen my conversation, not only with the people you're having with, but also with you. Because you're so, the way that you speak is so kind of you that it makes yeah. me feel safe to be able to express myself in a, I don't have to be so intelligent and leave you like this, like, you know, thing where I have to sit there
Thank
and go
God.
Like, to, no, what I'm saying, I'm not saying that you don't like smart comments, but I'm saying it like, I don't have
no,
to sit there and
true.
Try to craft some sort of like super deep response so that you take me seriously. I could just say
no,
like,
it's totally true.
Dude, I totally love that episode. It rocked my world. Your guest like made me think about X, Y, and Z and it was rad. You know, I could just say that
yeah.
instead
yeah.
of thinking like, You know what I'm talking about. So I think that yeah. that's really good.
Yeah, people tell me a lot that they like my show because it's like permissive.
Yeah,
in some ways, like I don't, I'm very non-judgmental.
Yeah, and I believe that that's part of the
Weezer. And I attract
people.
Those people.
Yep, absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
And so the lesson I think for the listeners is that, you know, if you want a community that feels comfortable enough to tell you what they think or what they want, you kind of have to create a space that's safe for them to do that without being judged. And
right.
and if you are, and not that we have, we probably don't have that many judgmental listeners. I'm sure they're all very loving and sweet. But also, you know, I think being too sweet indicates your, you know, your feelings can be hurt.
Yes.
So you have to be careful there too.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, because
yep.
people don't want to hurt your feelings because you're just the nicest person ever. Whereas I, luckily, am not. I'll never have that problem.
Right, right. And
right.
so here's something else. You know, like we talked about this already in the fact that what is it? So when people request some of guests on your show that you're not like, oh, yeah, that thanks for that. But no.
So, yeah.
Because, you know, I started the premise of my yoga podcast was based upon the fact that I was a very busy person at the time already, being a yoga teacher and all. And I wanted to do this extra thing, which was podcasting, because I thought it was super cool. But I didn't have the time to do it in the way that I was reading about it. So I thought, what is it that I can do in my everyday life already, in my like productive world, that I don't have to add anything to it and I could just kind of enhance whatever's there. So I thought, hey, I'll just record my yoga classes, which I'm already teaching about 15 of them a week. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to have to set up a special time to do anything. And so I started to do that. And it was awesome because I had all of this material. It was never really intrusive. Yeah, I had to do a little bit of editing, which took some time. But all in all, it wasn't really that bad. And I was able to do like a podcast a week, which is how I started, you know, one class a week. It was awesome. But then my life changed. And then I didn't have 15 classes to teach anymore. I had like one or two, and they weren't very good. There were great classes for somebody taking them real life with me, but not really good for listening. They just weren't. And so that's why I stopped producing. And people were kind of requesting things of me like, can you make them shorter? Can you do like something for lower back? Can you do a class? Could you do a class for prenatal? And can you do a class for shoulders that are really tight? And I can. You know, this is super easy for me to do. My first instinct when I saw that was like, hell yeah, I could totally do it. Yeah. But the reality of the situation is, when am I going to do that? Like, I'm going to have to set up a time now to teach this class that's, you know what I mean? And so it kind of went against the grain, and I'm feeling sad because I could have really offered all this value to my community and perhaps even grown my podcast much bigger than it was. But because I haven't had the time to do it in the way that I set it up, I can't continue to offer that. You know what I mean? So I kind of had to choose. It's me. Like, I'm the one that's the boss, not you.
But also, you know, sometimes when you start a show, you have no idea where or how you want it to go. It's easier if you do. Like, I have some idea of how I want it to be when it's at its peak, how I'll make money and how the community will run and what side things I'll do. I've always wanted to do a live event.
Right.
So that may not happen in the first year. Obviously, it's not, because it's already been a year. But eventually, that's what I would like to do. And so, you know, but if it doesn't happen that way, if, you know, kind of like I wanted to have a live event.
Yeah.
They didn't want it to be live. They wanted to listen whenever the balls they want. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to tell people what to do if they don't want to listen. So it's just, in some ways you have to listen, and in some ways you can't. Right. And in your situation, you were just doing a podcast because you were already doing the class. It's not like you can do the class for the podcast.
Exactly. And I had to change, you know, I mean, I have changed to some degree. Now when I do publish, I do the class for the podcast, but that means that things come out when I have time. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
which is never.
Which exactly. As of now, it's been never. But, you know, it's different for the Libsyn podcast, because the Libsyn podcast, obviously, it's my job, number one. So it's a priority. And I do plan it ahead of time. And we're constantly working on it and getting the topics and everything. But it really, the response from the audience is very important for that. In fact, it fuels everything about the entire thing. It's like driven by the community. At least 50% of what we cover is because of questions we've gotten from either our users, or people have sent us feedback, or it's something that, you know, we've featured somebody that we want to talk about. It's about, you know, a blog post that somebody sent in that was really great for podcasters and all that kind of stuff. So it actually, we really do use that, and we use it from like, and if somebody doesn't send us feedback, then anything I can find in engagement in any of our social media platforms becomes a focus of conversation for us. Mm-hmm. So everything is kind of inspired by conversations that are being had about the topic. And it's not like us sitting down with an agenda of like how we are going to, you know, just drive this point home. It generally just is super organic. And I think that's why we're getting, I mean, it's not like growing exponentially by any means, because it's a very niche audience that we're talking to, but it's getting much richer in the engagement and the loyalty from our people, which is really, really nice. You know, and I don't think that you can really kind of pay for that kind of thing, or like that you can put a value on that. It really is just organically happened from our willingness to listen.
Yeah.
So I guess to sum it up, to set the parameters is that exactly what you were talking about. Set the parameters from the get-go of what you want this to be for yourself. So with Jess was mentioning that she's got sort of like this end game where she's kind of moving towards, and it wasn't something like that she wanted to happen right from the get-go, but she sees it in the future, and that kind of fuels the way that the building a community has gone into. So perhaps for you, that's what it is. And perhaps for you, it's kind of like my yoga experience, where it's like, you're kind of doing it more for yourself mm-hmm. and the community is like a bonus. And so if it, you know, whatever floats your boat, if that's the way you want to work and you just kind of want to put your own stuff up there and kind and listen to the community, but not make it a big focus, then do it that way from the get-go. But then don't expect deep, meaningful relationships to be built if you're not working specifically on that. It doesn't happen by itself.
Yeah.
Right. And also something that I think you mentioned, Jess, consider when you engage, meaning you as a listener to a podcast, hopefully you listen to at least one, when you are willing to engage with somebody, like what makes you participate in a community of a specific podcast, when you send feedback, how you send feedback, is it on Twitter, on Facebook, as an audio feedback, as a comment on their blog, like what made you do that? Where were you and what time of day it was? Because you can kind of put yourself in the position of being an audience member, and maybe you as a producer can then think of that for your audience so that you don't expect things that are not, you know, necessarily where it's going to actually happen.
Yeah.
So there, that's it. Do you have anything else to say about this topic of when the audience talks, how much do you listen?
No, I think we covered it well. I would love to hear questions or comments in the show notes or in the Facebook group. If you guys feel like you've been told to do stuff by your audience that you're not willing to do, or if or if you were trying to grow a community so that you can mine their brilliant minds, and how that's working out.
Absolutely. I think that would be really great. So if you see the post in the She Podcasts community of this episode, you can comment on there and we'll be super happy to kind of listen to what you have to say. Or you can email us at feedback@shepodcasts.com. And we'll love to hear from you from there as well. Or you can, you know, send us audio feedback. Hey, why not? Go hog wild.
That would be awesome.
That would be super cool.
Yeah.
So there you have it. I think we've covered this one.
Absolutely. Yay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Elsie.
You are so welcome. Thank you. And we'll talk with you guys very soon.
Yeah. The rest.